Iambic Audiobooks and Apex Publications present When Darkness Loves Us by Lisbeth Engstrom, read by Lynette Geisel. Forward. Forward to the 2009 edition. The original publication of this book marked the genesis of my professional career in writing, editing, publishing, and teaching the fine art of fiction. Before that, I had always known I would someday write. Even envisioned my name on the spine of my book when I was 8, 9, 10 years old. When old enough to have something to say, and finally given the opportunity of sufficient free time, write, I did. This was the first publication quality work I produced, and with the help of my dear friend and mentor, the late science fiction great Theodore Sturgeon, this book launched my career. 25 years later, I've learned much about storytelling. Deb Tabor, my editor for this volume, wanted to know if I wanted to rewrite any sections, but after all this time, I would have to rewrite everything, or nothing. So we present it here as it was in its original form, with only minor tweaks. It is a view back to a simpler time, when I was filled with innocence, enthusiasm, and starry-eyed dreams of my career as an author. 25 years later, I have made my living as a working writer, all I ever aspired to be, from the time I wrote my first short story at age 8. From the point of view of certain of my students, my success has been wildly outrageous, and from another point of view, my success has been modest at best. But when it comes to my career, my point of view is the only one that matters, and I have and have had, for me, the perfect career. I published enough to pay the bills. I continue to collect enough rejection slips to keep me humble. I teach enough to keep sharpening my skills and to commune on a meaningful level with other members of my profession. We are an irreverent bunch, socially inappropriate for the most part, and filled with goodwill. 25 years later, the stories I tell today are much different from the two in this volume. I still write dark fantasy, but I also write other types of dark fiction, in both novel and short story form, along with inspirational essays, articles, limericks, egregious bad love sonnets, and everything else that, given time, a working writer with varied interests is likely to produce. But the experience of growing older has, of course, changed me, and so it has changed the things that are important for me to say. 25 years later, I am thrilled to see this volume back in print. I leave the dedication as it was, and add to it the names of Theodore Sturgeon and Al Crady, one man who shaped my career, and the other who shapes my life. Elizabeth Engstrom, Eugene, Oregon, 2009. Forward to the original edition.
I wish you could have been there. Yes, I mean you. Let me tell you where and why. My wife, whom you'll call Lady Jane as soon as you see her, as I did. My wife and I had come to an island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean to teach writing. We entered a huge room in a house that overlooked macadamia and cane fields and was surrounded by papaya and banana trees and a symphonic riot of flowers. And there we met our class. And Betsy. Pretty exotic. Oh, sure. Maui, with its puffs of rain cloud and the dark flanks of its sleeping volcanoes, wearing their rumpled capes of pool table felt, its long-tailed firebirds and impudent minas, its kaleidoscope ethnics and accents, and its unfailing, what, smiliness? It's exotic, all right. Except Betsy. Elizabeth Engstrom is not exotic. She is a married woman with a nice husband and 2 great kids, and a tidy home and a quiet voice with which she would no more shout than she would ride a motorcycle into one's living room. She spoke seldom during the course we taught. When she did, it was to the point and rather noticeably her own opinion and none other, prevailing or not. Her greatest eloquence, which we both noticed from that first entrance, was a pair of eyes, two clicks brighter than the brightest you have ever seen. These transmitted something quite beyond words, an intensity to learn and to understand and to do. This woman meant to get into print. Revise that. I shouldn't have said intensity. I should have said ferocity. This class was extraordinary. None had seen print. At this writing, six of them are writing and selling. And much as we'd like to take credit, we must assert that all we had to do was scratch lightly and the talent exploded all over the place. We workshopped manuscripts. Workshop has become a verb. Betsy's 20-odd thousand-word story had to be put off while we went through the maze of story architecture, mood, crisis, climax, denouement, the sound of punctuation, and all that machine shop stuff until the last meeting when we had Betsy read her story aloud. It was When Darkness Loves Us. It was for this moment that I wish you had been there. There is a thing that happens in theater when one or another of the cast is having his or her night, a very special spell that overtakes a performer. You can tell when it's happening by two things. One, you become aware that everyone else in the cast is playing two and four, the magicked one. And two, when the final curtain falls, instead of the appreciative crash of applause, there is an instant of hush before anyone moves. It's the possibility of that hush that keeps actors, actors. Well, that's what happened at this reading. Later, on the mainland, we got a look at Beauty Is. Our immediate reaction was to get it launched. The two stories together made a generous enough bookful, but they were not connected in any way. Betsy said I was crazy, but I said, do it. Her able agent said I was crazy, but I said, do it. Her publisher probably thought the same, but the publisher did it. And now I envy you and anyone else who has not, but who is about to, meet Elizabeth Engstrom. Behind that soft voice style is power, is surprise, is, well, that veracity I mentioned. You are now introduced. Theodore Sturgeon, Oregon, 1984.